Man, we are glad. I'm excited to have Moses back to bring this series and to continue what the Lord has shared with him concerning Joseph. So without further ado, brother, come. Amen. We have this facility rented till 9 o'clock tonight. Take your time.
Have we ordered pizza? Because I've been here till 9 o'clock. You're not recording that, are you? That's just the lighter side of it. Oh, thank you very much, Pastor Pat. Good afternoon, everybody. We bless God that we are back together in fellowship. I missed out last Sunday. I spoke to Pastor Pat and let him know I was on the way trying to come. And you can be sure that by the time I was ready to come, church was over, so I was not able to come in last Sunday. I'm very delighted. I'm excited to be back here sharing from the Word of God. And you can be sure that I'm going to be very brief today. So I'll not take up Pastor Pat on his word of 9 o'clock. I'll probably use much less time than that. That's 8:59. All right, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we humble ourselves in your presence as children that have come to drink from the fountain, children that have come to eat, to be at table with you. And Lord God, as we break bread together, as we share in the Word of God, we invite the Holy Spirit of God, the author and the finisher, to come and quicken our understanding, O God, and help us to learn that which you want us to learn. And Lord, I pray that you will meet each one of us at our point of need. Come and speak to each one of us by name, O Father. Speak to each one of us individually, that by the time we leave this place, we can testify and say, the Lord spoke to me. And that, Father, you will speak to those things that are in our hearts. If they be needs, if they be fears, if they be whatever it is, Lord God of glory, that you will speak to it. That at the end of it, O God, we will give you the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to continue looking at Joseph. And remember, we are walking in their footsteps. That is what I named this series, in their footsteps, trying to walk where they walked, trying to tread the paths they trod, trying to stand where they stood. I know we cannot, and I know it's very difficult, but by reading about the things that happened to them, we can try to walk in their footsteps, albeit some. And I was sharing, we've reached that part where I was sharing the lessons that I say the Lord has, you know, put on my heart about the life of Joseph. And just to recap and to bring us to the point where we are at, we had about 5 lessons covered, and we hope to be covering the other 5 or 6 today. The first lessons that I mentioned, number one, was that when God calls you, he begins by giving you the authority you need to fulfill that calling. God does not just call you and abandon you. He does not just call you and then throw you in the deep end and leave you to sink. He calls you and he gives you that authority, that anointing, that equipping which you need to accomplish that. The second one is that it is through suffering that we must enter the kingdom of God and oftentimes reach our destiny. Suffering is not accidental in the Christian faith. Suffering is something you can expect. I don't want you to anticipate it, but you can expect it. You can be sure it will come. And when it comes, unfortunately, we live in an era where the world around us tells us suffering is not for you. You know, suffering, but suffering is part of the deal. It's part of the package. You know, those of you who work and you get benefits packages, it's part of the package. Amen? It's part of the package. You know, so it, you can expect it, and it will come. And it will come in different measures for different people. And it will come at different times for different people. And sometimes it will come when you least want it or you least expect it. But the important thing is that when it comes, and that takes us to our next lesson, is that when it comes, the Lord is there with you. He does not forsake you. He does not abandon you. It's not like, there you go, now I've got you. No, the Lord doesn't do that. So our next lesson is, God does not willingly bring affliction. He does not willingly bring affliction to the sons and daughters of men. And we read that in the Bible. It happens, it comes. But sometimes it's just because God is trying to bring you into the right direction and you're going the opposite way. The Lord is saying, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And you are saying, no, Lord, Tarsus has better ships and, you know, the facilities are better there. And the Lord is saying, no, I want you back this way. And all of us, we have our own Nineveh's and we have our own Tarsus's experiences, you know. You may be going the wrong direction. You may be pursuing something with all the energy, and the Lord is saying, no, I want you to pursue a totally different thing. And sometimes you come in direct confrontation, and that could leave you suffering. Sometimes the Lord is just taking glory in your life. You know, and the next lesson we looked at is that when God has ordained it, amen, it may take time. But it will come to pass. If the Lord has ordained it, it may tarry, but it will come to pass. And it will come to pass. And when it comes to pass, it will bring him the glory and the honor. And it will leave you feeling good because the Lord will have done it. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I got one of the most difficult lessons in the Christian faith. Difficult for you, difficult for me, difficult for most of us. And later on we shall be looking at Genesis chapter 45. Maybe let's look at that as we begin. Genesis chapter 45. This is the story of Joseph. And this brings us to the climax of the story of Joseph and his brothers. Let's quickly read chapter 1 through verse 14. Genesis 45:1-14.
Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of your brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck.
You know, I want you to picture this situation, brethren. When these people got rid of Joseph, they knew that was the end of Joseph. And they knew they would never meet him again. He's done, he's gone, he's forgotten. It's over. And now here they are confronting a situation in Egypt. where they have been arrested because they have been accused of stealing. They stole money the first time, okay? They took the grain, but also took the money. And now, this time, they didn't only steal the money, but they stole the cup of the master. The cup that the master uses to drink from. And it's not anybody who stole it. It was Benjamin the youngest. The one whom Reuben and Judas promised their father. If he doesn't come back, deal with us. And now, they've been brought back, and they are all crawling. They are all pleading. They don't know what is going to come next. But doesn't the Bible say he prepares a table for me before my enemies? And then here it is. They are prisoners, but they are being sat to eat with the man who is imprisoning them. Something's not very straight here. And when they go to sit, for some reason, these Egyptian men know who the oldest is, who the youngest is, and they have sat them in order. Then they look around and they say, Reuben, Simon, Gad, and Benjamin, the youngest, is closest to the table of the big man. They don't know. Now, should we eat? I don't know whether you've ever been in such a situation, you know, should I eat? You don't know whether when you are eating, the man will arrest you. You don't know whether they'll put something in the food. As soon as you eat it, you lose your head. And then you'll begin to tell out all the secrets. I mean, they're struggling. I can imagine these men are struggling with an issue. But there is Joseph. At that stage, he cannot control himself anymore. He's looking at these guys, and they are talking in Hebrew. They must have been speaking in Hebrew, telling each other certain secrets. You know, the way you are passing on certain quick words. You know, and he may have been hearing all this, and he's saying, if only they knew that I'm hearing. At that stage, he could not contain himself. And he says to them, let everybody go out. Then he turns to them, and I'm sure he did it in Hebrew, or was it whatever language, it must have been Hebrew. And he says to them, I am Joseph. Pardon? Yeah, he says, I am Joseph. And I told you the story of Joseph is like the story of Jesus. The doors are locked. Peter, James, John, everybody, they have locked the doors. They are all mourning and crying and saying, we thought this man was going to save us. He's gone. Where is he? And he stands in their midst. And he says, I am he. And the same way Jesus says to Peter, James, and John, come. Touch. Come close. Come and touch. Come. Joseph says to them, come close. And now, if it wasn't bad enough that we had stolen money, if it wasn't bad enough that we stole the cup, now the very land we sold and tried to kill is the one who has imprisoned us. We are in trouble, aren't we? We are finished. We are dead. We are as good as dead. I mean, if Joseph is the one arresting us, you remember how he pleaded? Save us, save me! Now he says, we are done. We are finished. Oh. Now I don't know at that stage whether they were crying, whether they were praying, whether they were pleading. I don't know. I can only picture them. And you know, for me, that's very good drama. Because it must have been interesting. But listen, then comes the most difficult lesson in the Bible. Forgiveness. forgiveness. Each one of us here, we have people that have hurt us. And each one of us, you take your age, whatever number of years you have. Somebody is celebrating their birthday today. We know how old he is, right? So take your age and multiply that by just one hurt or wrong per day for the years that you've been alive. So if you've been alive 10 years and you've been hurt only once in a day, multiply that by 365, and then multiply that by the number of years you have. Just once a day. But some of us have been hurt 1,000 times a day. So you can imagine how much hurt we are carrying. And many people have met Christ, but the hearts remain. Somebody may have said something careless about you. And it keeps haunting you. It sits there. Maybe your spouse says something every day and it hurts you. And some people are not very good at verbalizing what they are going through. So, you know, there was this brother who every time he entered his house, you know, he leaves one shoe at the door. By the time he reaches the sitting room, the other shoe, he leaves there. And then, you know, by the time he's done sitting down to rest, one sock is this way, the other half is that way. And the lady in the house was like, oh my goodness. Every time she would organize them and put them in one corner. But one time she couldn't take it. And she blew out, and the man doesn't understand why you're blowing up over nothing. I've done nothing. But you know, she's been bottling up. She's been bottling up. And on this day, it explodes. And maybe we have all gone through that. Joseph says to his brothers, I know you are worried, but do not worry. You meant to hurt me, but it wasn't you. The Lord sent me ahead of you to preserve a nation. Can't your boss, when he sacks you, later on meet him and say, it wasn't you? But it was the Lord who used you to send me into my destiny. Thank your spouse, thank your brother, thank your son, thank your daughter, thank your father and say it wasn't you. Not easy. Not easy. I want us to pause for a moment and just think, is there anybody that you probably haven't even forgiven now? When actually it's the Lord working through that person to keep you straight, to bring you back on the path. Forgiving is tough. But it is powerful. That's my lesson. Forgiving is tough, but it is powerful. And this is the biggest lesson that we get from the life of Joseph when he meets his brothers. The challenge for us as Christians, God put it as a condition. If we do not forgive, we shall not be forgiven. But how many times do I find it easy to hold a grudge and remain angry, and I justify it, and I have the rationale. I have a reason why I'm angry. And the Lord is saying, forgive. Lord, you know they really hurt me. And the Lord is saying, forgive. If you don't forgive, I will not forgive you. I leave that to us. Let me move on quickly. I said I'll be brief. Many things we go through now will only become clear much later. Many things which don't make sense today will make sense later. No, Joseph couldn't have never understood why his brothers were selling him. Why he was going through whatever he was going through. Why Potiphar's wife emerges and accuses him of rape. Why he's sent to prison. Why the servants of the king forgot about him. He would have never understood. And there are many things you and I are going through today which don't make sense. They don't. They are painful, they are difficult, they are... But one day, they will make sense. I want to encourage you. If you don't understand it now, just take it to the Lord in prayer. And leave it to the Lord. He understands it. And say, Father, I know I don't understand it, but I know you do. And sometimes you want to be as plain with God as that. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't. I have prayed, I've fasted, I've believed, I've quoted every scripture, I've done everything I know how to do. But things are not happening the way I expected. I don't understand. You may not understand it now. It will make sense later. Whether we recognize and acknowledge the work of God or not, God remains God and He remains at work. Whether we acknowledge it, whether we recognize it, He remains God and remains at work. Hallelujah. He is God. He will be God. He is God today. He will be God tomorrow. He is at work today. He will be at work tomorrow. He is at work. Whether we like it or not, whether we understand it, God remains God. And God remains at work. That's exactly what he was doing through the life of Joseph, through the situation with his brothers. And let me tell you something interesting. If we keep silent, Jesus said to the Pharisees, if these people keep silent, the stones will sing. If we as Christians keep silent, the stones will sing. If we don't speak, the Lord will find something to speak. The donkeys will speak. But brethren, we don't want donkeys speaking to us. Then let's go and speak the word of God. Then let's go and speak so that donkeys don't speak to us. We don't speak, the stones will speak. The donkeys will speak. Mordecai said to Esther, if you keep quiet, salvation will come from elsewhere. It will come. If you keep quiet, it will come. If we keep silent, the stones, the babies will sing. My next lesson is very interesting. I was very encouraged by this. Have you ever made a mistake and you really feel so bad about it? And you really regret and you... And some people are self-condemning. You know, the self-condemnation goes on forever. You continue feeling so bad you made a mistake and you know we live in a world where people aren't supposed to be perfect. And the moment you feel you are less than perfect, you are battered and tortured forever. And my lesson is this. Even through our faltering steps, God is at work. And God has the capacity to take my very failures, my very weaknesses, my lowest moments in life. The Lord takes those and uses them for his own glory. You may be feeling, why did I even say yes to this man? Why was I looking? But brethren, I want to encourage you. Hallelujah. Through those faltering steps, the Lord is at work. He is fulfilling his work through those faltering steps. He's fulfilling his purposes. He's meeting our needs. He's earning praise and glory for himself. And each one of us can rest confident in the Lord, that the Lord is doing his work in us. Let me quickly bring this to a conclusion. And I'll share three more lessons and thoughts, and we'll pray. Joseph's brothers have now met him. And they have no clue how to deal with him. But Joseph, the man of God, is looking beyond the physical. These guys are looking at the physical. They are fearing the physical. They are afraid of the physical. They are worried of the physical. Joseph is looking beyond. The Bible tells us, brethren, we are not contending against blood and flesh, but against powers and principalities, against the very forces of the enemy. Joseph knew it wasn't these guys here. The Lord was at work, but the enemy was at work. The enemy had wanted Joseph destroyed, but God preserved him. And so, friends, in salvation, we are not on a playground. This is not the Olympics. No, this is not the Olympics. This is not a playground. This is a battleground. But how often we think we are playing ball? When things begin to go wrong, when things begin to happen in our life, we are lost. What should we do when those moments arise? And I'll share a few thoughts. The Bible says, our weapons are not carnal, but they are powerful, mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds. The Lord is looking at each one of us and depending on us to pull down those strongholds. And there are strongholds. You know, there's a phrase that the politicians have been making. And I keep saying, they are making a phrase they don't quite know the depth of. When they keep saying, the battle is for the soul of America. And I say, if only you knew, it's a real battle for the soul of America. But the soul of America, which is, you know, the battle is against, is not the physical. No. It's not the wealth. It's not. Those are symptoms. But what made America America? In God, we do what?
Trust.
We trust. That's the soul. That's the soul of this country. So the enemy, the forces, they want to get that soul. And so each one of us, we are called upon to engage, to pray. You know, you may have a situation in your home. It may be a child who seems to be wayward and you don't quite understand. If you try to address the issue physically, I can tell you that's a lost battle. And I'm speaking with evidence. But the moment comes when you get a realization and say, I am not dealing with physical issues here. These are not physical issues, and the moment you go on your knees, you know, we were going through a situation in our household. And we said, what is happening to one of us? And somebody said, we are not dealing with a physical issue here, friends. We are dealing with a spiritual thing. A spiritual thing where the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And as a family, we said, we are going to go on our knees. We are going to take time to pray and fast and call on the name of the Lord. Brethren, I have a testimony. The moment we prayed, the moment we fasted, the moment we called on the name of the Lord, things that didn't happen started happening. Phone calls that used not to come in came in. Testimonies that didn't come in came in. Requests for time together to fellowship came in. And I say, hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is at work. Amen. We are not contending against blood and flesh, but against powers and principalities. And I want to share with us 8 weapons that I've written down for myself. Number 1, the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Friends, let's call upon the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. If you can't pray, just say, Lord, cover me with the blood of Jesus. Let's call upon the blood. Jesus, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The blood is what makes the difference. The blood, the devil hates the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's invoke the blood of Jesus Christ upon ourselves. Let's invoke the blood of Jesus on our businesses. Let's invoke the blood of Jesus on our children. Let's invoke the blood of Jesus on our households. Let's invoke the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Number 2, the word of our testimony. Now, that's very difficult. Very difficult, right? If the doctors say you're sick, then you're sick. And they're also seeing you are sick. So what is the word of your testimony? Is the word of your testimony saying, I'm not sick, when actually you're sick? That's denial. Oh no, faith says I'm okay, I'm not sick. No, you're sick. It's fact and truth. But it is also fact and truth that by His stripes, we are healed. So the word of my testimony will be, Lord, I'm sick, yes, but by your stripes, I'm healed. That's the word of our testimony. The third thing I want to mention very briefly is the Word of God. Brethren, the Word, the Word, the Word.
Amen.
The Word,
yes.
The Word,
yes.
The Word.
Yes.
You know, the Bible tells us, when you read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, where Paul talks about the armor of the Lord, the full armor of the Lord. All the armor that Paul describes there is protective. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the shoes. You know, it's all protective. And then he says, and also the sword of the Spirit. The only attacking weapon, the only attacking part of that armor is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. The more Word, the better. You will not remember everything. No. No. And you don't need to feel guilty because you can't remember where, the Bible says, I'll separate you from your sins. You don't need to remember where it is written. You only need to remember it is there. Lord, it is there. Lord, it is there. Lord, I know. I know it is somewhere in there, Lord. I can't find it. But I know it is there when you said it. But don't say one doesn't exist, amen? Because sometimes you may say, Lord, you also said that you'll understand, Lord, you know. Hallelujah. Prayer. 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 As Christians, we can never overemphasize prayer. But if we have ever needed to pray, then it is now. There are a few things we haven't yet got into as a church, but we need to get into them as the Lord opens and creates time for us. You may not be able to wake up very early to come for the prayer meeting, for the men have come a few days and find the church locked. But you may not be able to do that. But we need to create time and pray in our families first. And then with friends. And today, thank God for technology, we can pray on phone. Hallelujah. You may not have the time to drive and come to visit me, but you can call me and say, Brother Moses, can we just pray together? Do you have a minute? And we pray. Let's pray. Let's keep praying. On Facebook. Don't just go on Facebook about... You know, you can pray on Facebook. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Brethren, let's pray.
Amen.
Prayer, prayer, prayer.
Amen.
And I'll mention three more and I'm done. Fellowship. You know, the good thing is that all of us here have gas in our houses and we have electricity, and so nobody ever cooks using firewood, right? I grew up cooking using firewood. That's what I know. And you know, the smoke goes in your eyes and you have to jump out crying a little bit, and then you have to go back in there because you need to eat. So it's not easy, and those of you who have been there, you know what I'm talking about, amen? Some of you have not, But you know, when you light firewood, you don't light one piece of firewood and you expect it to cook your food. The best fire is made when you put more than one piece of firewood together. You put one piece of firewood, you put another, the fire gets bigger, the fire gets stronger, the food cooks faster. Each one of us is a piece of firewood. Let's come together and help each other to cook better. Hallelujah. I need you and you need me. Come. Even when you don't feel like coming, for my sake, come. Don't always come to church for your sake. Don't come because you enjoy it. Don't come because you feel good. Come for the sake of the others. You may not need me. You don't need the word. You but come. When I see you sitting there, hallelujah. When I see you, I just feel, amen, we are together. We're together in this, amen. Hallelujah. Fellowship. 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 And we've lost opportunities for fellowship because the world has made us so busy. Everybody is so busy. Brethren and youth just come together to just sit and break bread. I mean, there's just nothing to talk about but Jesus, you know. Come on, just tell me. So, brother, how have you been today, you know? And the brother just tells you his struggles, and you realize this man, he's also going through issues. And then by the time you're finishing, you're holding each other's hand in prayer. Then you know better how each person is doing. Brethren, fellowship. Now, because we can't meet physically, openly, oftentimes, how many of us have every church member's telephone number? Now, Pastor, there used to be a time when we used to have the church telephone box. Let's have the church telephone numbers. Let everybody have everybody's telephone number. Do you know why? You may hear. Okay, let me give you an example. One time, I used to love biking, you know, motorcycle riding. I used to motor bike, you know. Oh, boy, you should have seen me on that 250cc. I mean, everybody in our little town knew the man with the big motorcycle. But they also knew the man with the big motorcycle is also a preacher. So one time, I was riding this big motorcycle, riding back home. Of course, you know, when you are young, you know, you're a little proud, and you know, the pride also comes in. And then you're riding, and you lose a bit of concentration. The next thing I knew, some careless driver was cutting in front of me, and there I was banging him. I must have been doing about 70 miles or 60 miles an hour, I don't remember. And somebody was driving past. And all he needed to see was the man, the big man with the motorcycle has fallen. And I was hurrying to get back home to go and preach. So this man wasn't even a Christian. Guess what he did? He just went straight to the church. He found them fellowshipping. He stood at the door and said, "Your pastor has had an accident. We think he's dead." And he walks away. That's all. He didn't give them any details, they don't know, but he's given them a very important message. Because guess what they did? The whole church went up in arms to the Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord for my sake. And by the time my wife and the other brethren had gathered themselves to now come and try to find me, I arrived home and they said, "They told us you're dead and you're showing up." But the prayers had gone up. We need to support each other in prayer. We need to pray for one another. Hallelujah. So let's get telephone numbers. Let's pray for each other. Let's support each other. You may hear. Somebody has heard this. Pray for it. And sometimes you don't have to hear. Just pray. The Spirit will quicken you up. The Spirit will convict you. Somehow you feel, "I haven't seen Sister Loretta in a while." And the Spirit will move you to pray for her. That is the way we shall support one another. Amen. The last two that I will just mention, and I will not speak about them, the name of the Lord. Oh! No other name has been given unto men by which they can be saved but by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is. He liveth us through paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is jealous for his name. The name of the Lord. Guess what the devil is struggling to do today? Kill the name. Yeah, you can pray, but don't pray in the name. You can speak, but don't speak about the name. So, the name. But the name is more than a name for us as Christians, brethren. Hallelujah. The name. Stand up, join me. And we are going to pray. And there's this thing that has been on my heart for a while now. We want to pray that the Lord just continues to bring, you know, those brethren who used to pray here who are not praying anymore, they just need to come back to church. And the Lord just needs to bring more people. Amen? Let me tell you, every time I sit and I'm seeing empty chairs, I'm saying, Lord, bring people. The Lord knows where the people are. And he's going to bring them. Because we want our fellowship to grow. This fellowship will grow and this fellowship will increase. Amen? Amen? If you are in agreement with me, hallelujah. Amen. 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 So let me just ask you to draw close by here. We just take some time together in prayer. And I'll let us go home. But let's just spend some time in prayer. You know, the devil is very good at trying to discourage us. It's one of his biggest weapons. I'm not talking about the weapons of the devil today. But one of the biggest weapons that the devil uses is the weapon of discouragement. I don't know whether any of you gets discouraged. I do. I'm sure all of us get discouraged. Hallelujah. So we're just going to pray. And this is exactly what the devil had done to Joseph. He had wanted to discourage him so that he could destroy him. But Joseph remained encouraged in the Lord until that day when the purposes of God were fulfilled in the life of Joseph. And so those are the two things we are going to pray about. We're going to pray for the church. Let's just pray that the Lord will just bring people. That has been on my heart for a while. Let's just pray about that. And then the second thing we'll be praying about is we're just going to release people. If there's anybody who has hurt you and you've been holding pain, if there's anybody you know you need to forgive, if you know there's anybody who probably needs to forgive you, And each one of us, they don't have to be in this place. They may be here, they may not be here. And we'll just spend time forgiving and releasing and just letting go. I love that song when we sang it, you know, take me, Lord, and use me. Just, I'm here. Just take me the way I am and use me. So let's just spend time praying to the Lord. Let's just worship the Lord first of all, and then after that we'll pray about the church. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel, we just come before you, Lord God, today, thanking you for another opportunity to be in your presence, oh God, worshiping you, blessing you. We bless you because, Lord God, we know that you who began this good work in us, oh God, you are bringing it to completion, oh God. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ continues to wash us. We know that the word of God continues to strengthen us. We know that, Lord, the Holy Spirit continues to speak to each one of us. And so we bless you, we honor you, we worship you, we magnify you. Name, oh God, for you are God. We are men, but you are God. We are people, but you are God. We are dust, but you are God. We are worms, but you are God. We are weak, but you are strong. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are Jehovah El Shaddai. You are Jehovah Elohim. You are Jehovah Shammah. You are Jehovah Nissi. You are Jehovah Rohi. You are Jehovah the great I am, oh God. You are who you are because you made this world, oh God. It is yours. It belongs to you. You know it. You understand it, oh God. So, Father, we worship you, we honor you, we give you glory. We bless your holy name, O Father. We worship you, God of glory. We worship you, King of Kings. We bless you, God of Abraham. We bless you, Father. Abba, Father, we honor you. We honor you. We honor you. We give you glory, Lord God of glory. For Father, we know that you are here and you've been with us, oh God. And so we lift our voices unto you. We raise our voices unto you, Lord God, in prayer, Lord God, praying that your name will be held in glory and in honor, will be blessed and will be worshipped, oh Lord God. We worship you. We bless you, Lord. We magnify your holy name, oh God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God you are, Lord God. What a mighty King you are, Lord God. Glory be to your holy name, Father. Glory be to your holy name, Father. We bless you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you, Jesus. 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 We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you. The Bible says, I've given you authority. I have given you authority to trample down. Let's stand in that authority to pull down the strongholds that desire to destroy our lives, that desire to destroy the work of God, that desire to destroy our families, that desire to destroy this nation. Let's stand in the authority that has been given unto us to pull down every stronghold of the enemy. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we stand in that authority. The authority that has been given unto us to come against every power, every principality, every spirit, every force that disguises itself but desires to destroy our families, but desires to destroy the wealth of God, but desires to destroy this nation, whatever spirit it is, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that every power, every principality will be pulled down. Every stronghold will be pulled down in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command every knee to bow. We command every tongue to confess that Jesus is the Lord. That Jesus is the Lord. We command every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus is Lord. We call upon the blood of Jesus Christ to wash this land. The blood of Jesus Christ to wash this country, the blood of Jesus Christ to touch every situation, oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We pray that the will of God will be established in this land, that the will of God will be established in this land, oh God. That the will of God will be established in our families, oh God. The will of God will be established in the economy. The will of God will be established in the political circles. The will of God will be established in every sphere of life, oh God. In the name of Jesus. 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 Oh, Rapaka Sitoro Boboko Sangarabakara Shindrebaka. Lamoko Sotoro Bobokoria Sangarabaka. Eneboko Sitoro Boboko Sangaraba. Lamoshetoro Bobokora Shindrebeko. Eneboko Sitarabakoria Sangarabe. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, we speak victory. We speak victory. Victory in our households. Victory among our children. Victory on our spouses. Victory in our businesses. victory in the church, victory in the land. We'll speak victory in our finances. We'll speak victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in our bodies, O God. We'll speak victory. We'll speak victory. We'll speak victory. Oh, Rapakasitoro Bodoshandarabaka. We'll speak victory in the name of Jesus. 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 Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Rapaka Sitoro Bodoshandarabaka. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's call upon the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord said, if we who are evil know how to give our children good things, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Lord, we need your Spirit. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit of God. On our own we are weak, Father. Father, on our own we are nothing, Lord God. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. Father, give us the Spirit of God. Give us the Spirit of God. Give us the Spirit of God. Give us your Spirit of God. Give us your Spirit, O Father. Father, we need your Spirit of God. Let your Spirit come and help our infirmities, O God. Let your Holy Spirit come and quicken us, O God. Come and make us a new creature, O God. Let the Holy Spirit come and inspire us, O God. Let the Holy Spirit come and work in our lives, O Father. Let the Holy Spirit come and transform us, O God. We want to see you work in our midst. We want to see the Holy Spirit work in our midst. We want to see your miracles in our midst. We want to see your word spoken in our midst. We want to see prophets in our midst. We want healing and deliverance, O God. We want the Holy Spirit to come. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, O God. 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 Fill us with the Holy Spirit, O Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let your Spirit come down, Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let your Spirit come down upon us, O God. Oh, Lord. Let your Spirit transform us, O God, into the people you want us to be, into new creatures, O God, into vessels of God, into vessels of praise, into vessels of worship, into vessels of glory. Let your Spirit come down, Father. Let your Spirit come down, O God. Let your Spirit come down, O God. We surrender. We surrender, Lord God. We surrender to you, Father. Let your Holy Spirit come in us, O God. Let your Holy Spirit come upon us, O God. Let your Holy Spirit come upon us, O Father. Let your Holy Spirit come upon us, O God. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control. Let your Holy Spirit come and take charge. Let your Holy Spirit come and deliver us, O God. Let your Holy Spirit come and transform us, O God. Come and renew us, O God. Have your way in us, O God. Have your way among us, O God. Have your way among us, O Father. And Lord, we forgive. We forgive, Lord. We forgive those that have hurt us, O God. Just go ahead and release whatever you have in your heart. People who have spoken a word that has broken you down. People that have maliced you along the way. People that have mistreated you. People that you just don't like, forgive them, release them. Just forgive them. Father, I release those that have hurt me, Lord God, along the way. And I pray that you'll help me to genuinely forgive. Lord, help me to genuinely forgive in the name of Jesus, that I may not hold any grudge, O God. For I know if I don't forgive, then I'll not be forgiven. But help me, like Joseph forgave his brothers, and he knew it was not them that sold him into slavery, but God was working in his life. Lord, I pray that you will forgive. Father, we forgive our spouses, O God. We forgive our parents, O Father. We forgive our siblings, O God. We forgive our children, O God. We forgive our employees and our employers, O God. We forgive our colleagues, O God. We forgive brethren in the church. Lord, we release and we surrender. We set free everybody in the name of Jesus. We forgive, we forgive, we forgive, we forgive, we forgive. Everybody declare forgiveness. 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 I declare forgiveness. I declare forgiveness. Declare forgiveness. Oh, Rambaka Setoro Boboshandarabaka Setoro Bobokoroshindarabaka. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, we call upon you to bring the people. Father, bring the people. Father, we pray that you will put a special hunger for the word in the hearts of the people. We pray that you will put special fast in the hearts of the people. We pray that you will touch the people, my God. Touch people, Lord God. You know where they are, Lord God. We don't know where they are, but Father, you know where they are. We pray that you go and bring them, Lord God. Bring them to your house, O God. Bring them to your presence, O Father. We pray that you'll go and bring them, O Lord God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll bring the people, O God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, O God, for those people who are prepared, O God, for this place, for such a time as this. We thank you, O God, for those hearts who will be fed, those hearts who will be renewed, those hearts who will be, Lord, brought out of darkness and thrust into the light, those hearts that will be matured, those hearts that will be encouraged, O God. Father, we thank you, O God, for those hearts that are ordained for this place, O God, for your word declares that the Lord added to the church those who were being saved, that you added daily to the church those who were being saved. And we thank you, O God, for the adding. We thank you for the multiplication. We thank you for those sheep that you are bringing into your fold, O God, who are to be fed in this place, O God, who are to be nourished and encouraged in this place. And we give you thanks for it right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you're using every one of us, O God, to see the harvest reaped in. Thank you that you're using us, O God, Lord, to see that the fields are white unto harvest, O God, and that by your Spirit, O God, we'll see it brought in through our labors, O God, according to your Spirit. Father, we give you thanks for it right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the word that we've just received. Thank you for the nourishment, O God. Thank you for the thrust and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, bringing to life in us, Lord, your word as preached. And now, Father, we ask your blessing upon this Lord's day, upon this day of rest, O God, that we would know rest in our spirits, rest in our minds, peace in our hearts, O God. Lord, that we would trust in the Lord, O God, and we would dwell in you and rest in the Lord and be at peace, O God, and know, Lord, that you are working everything together for our good. For that we give you thanks, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen.
I have a song I want to sing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. blessed holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Bless his holy name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, nobody wants to go home. Everyone wants to say, so a meal has been ordered. No. God bless you. God bless you. Is it next week? Next week we have our meal. We're going to have a shortened, abbreviated service. Pray for us. And then we're going to have a meal after. So be sure to come back next week. Well, for those of you who can, come back for the fellowship meal next week. Until then, God bless you real good.